The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Audio Frontier.
Larsson. Oh, he's in! Henrik Larsson! That is sensational! Is there going to be a twist in the tail? Lovercrantz! Yes, there is! Nakamura! Pedro Mendes! That is just brilliant!
Welcome to a very special edition of our offshoot podcast. It is Celtic Daft versus Rangers Daft, and we put Celtic first because Celtic have home advantage. We are on the eve of the Old Firm game as we sit here, and I am joined by two men celebrating their club's January signings with Chris Hatate and Stephen Ramsey. How are you, boys?
What's the current voice?
You call me there, Chris Hatate?
Chris Hatate. Right, so we're missing Grado, and I'm surprised we've managed to get you with your injuries. Chris, still suffering from the COVID. Stephen, you know, falling down a set of stairs. Are you all right, sir?
I feel like a bit of a dick, to be honest. Like, a few people said, were you pissed? Were you drinking? Like, no, I wish I was, but I was, for all the listeners, I spent it was an amazing day. It started off with my mate saying, this guy's fucking, what's this guy been smoking now? Big Romano talking about fucking signing Ramsey. So it started off at like 9:30 in the morning. Aye, right, as if we could get him. Day was unfolding, absolutely amazing. Ready to sit down and really watch the closing stages of transfer window. And I took a heater down the stairs. And I've cracked my ribs.
Where were you when the news broke, Stephen?
When the actual news broke that he had officially signed,
yeah,
I was sitting in the wee room at A&E up Glasgow Royal Infirmary.
But you had a
ball by myself,
so you couldn't celebrate and just go,
no,
yes!
No. All by myself, sitting there waiting on the doctor. I'd have to thank the NHS. If it wasn't for the NHS, I wouldn't. No, I mean, might not have been here tonight, guys. You know, up the Royal.
Did they fit your carpet?
Don't make me laugh, man.
All right, here we go. We can't make Stephen laugh during this podcast. Right, so I want to kind of rewind. Before we get into Celtic versus Rangers, the Old Firm tomorrow, I want to kind of rewind and pick up to from where we left off on Football Daft on Friday. A lot has happened in that space of time between Friday and recording Tuesday. So let's go rewind right back to Amad Diallo signing for Rangers from Manchester United on loan until the end of the season. A man that moved to Man United last season for $19 million and has now appeared at Rangers. Stephen, what did you think about that when you saw that?
I was quite exciting. It's the old classic, isn't it? You sit and go, right, it can't be a mug if Man U paid that for him, but they also paid $80 million for Harry Maguire. So you're sitting going, doesn't matter but what his price tag is. But obviously, looking up the wee guy, he looks quite exciting. And then on Saturday there, it was a shame when he got took off. I think he actually took a knock. Because very, very, very exciting. Looks like he'll create a lot of chances. He'll score a lot of goals. Technically, looks very, very dangerous. And he is absolutely rapid. So, decent signing.
So, happy with that. And then, obviously, moving forward 24 hours, he goes straight into the side to face Ross County away.
Don't need to talk about that, but
I'm sorry, mate. I think we're going to have to talk a wee bit about that. Let's get your initial thoughts on that game, mate.
first half, just basically Ross County get gifted three goals because McGregor gave them two and Bassey gave them one. The way it was unacceptable going into half time 2-1 to Ross County, that's unacceptable. The second half, the way we played at 2-1 down to go 3-2 up, it beggars belief how we don't just fucking start a game like that, because I don't think many teams could live with us the way we played for 2-1 to 3-2. But then as soon as we go 3-2 up, we just fucking go into our shell again and just invite danger on. And I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's Gio's tactics or it's something to do with the players. I don't know, because we're starting games very slow. We're waiting for something to happen before we get kicked into gear. Very, very angry. Felt like throwing myself down a set of stairs after that.
Looking at the team he set up with, Stephen, was that the team you would have went with? Or is that kind of only...
I definitely wouldn't have started it. I feel bad what I'm about to say, but I don't want to see him anywhere near a Rangers team again. I said it before he went to Germany on loan. He's just not good enough. Is it Jordan White? It's number 9 for Ross County up front, Jordan White.
Yeah, big lad.
No offence to Jordan White, but he's playing the way a centre forward should play against us the other day. He's one of the boys hodding up. Itten, he's wanting to take two touches when it gets put in a plate on him and he's 4 yards out for goal. The big man's just not good enough. He's not good enough.
But why he said no offence to Jordan White and then praised the guy?
No, I mean no offence as in he shouldn't be the best forward on that pitch. He's an average striker. I don't know why I bad mouth him, but it should be Itten that's bloody playing well. No, him. He's playing for Rangers. Jordan White's playing for Ross County and he's looking like a better centre forward than Itten. Itten for me just looks... everything breaks down when it comes to him. Everything. If he starts tomorrow night, I will be absolutely shocked.
It's kind of on Gio, man.
He shouldn't have started the game when Roof's on the bench. Roof needs the minutes in his legs to get fit. He always needs about two or three games before he gets back up to speed. And then to keep him on for 60 minutes, when that team came out for the second half, I could not believe Itten was still on the pitch. I couldn't believe it. He's so poor, man. So poor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aribo, on the plus side, Aribo comes back. I mean, goes into the starting lineup. He didn't obviously make the Livingston game, but he went straight into the starting lineup for Ross County. Man of the match for Rangers?
Probably aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Probably aye. He obviously set up Diallo's goal. He just makes such a difference, man. He's fucking sublime on the ball. Honestly, you couldn't get the ball off him in a fucking phone box. Honestly, he's so good, man. But it was just great to have him back. But it was one of the ones. It was fucking dropping points at Ross County is unacceptable, man.
Yeah, I mean, then we touched on Diallo there. You impressed with him on his first game?
Aye, as I say, he looked dangerous, especially the second half. It just looked like if anything good that was going to happen was going to come through either Aribo or Diallo. The wee guy looked very, very, very clever on the ball, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about the goalkeeping. Alan McGregor at fault for first and the third comeback. Let's talk about his performance as a whole, Stephen. I mean, I think you were early on the season quite critical of his performance, and actually at one point we're calling for him to be replaced as number one.
Was it? McGregor?
Yeah, aye. You were...
I wouldn't be calling for him to get replaced.
Fucking 6 months ago, they were saying he's better than Andy Gorham.
I wouldn't say I was calling for him to be replaced, John. No. And all the people that's grown about, should they start tomorrow night? Right, he's our number one, right? See, if he doesn't start tomorrow night and he gets trapped tomorrow night, he's not just getting rested for a game. If you drop him tomorrow night, that's making a statement, because we're going to Park Heed. That's a big statement. Plus, if anybody is capable of putting a performance like that behind him and absolutely giving a fucking 10 out of 10 performance, it's him. I don't know what he was doing the first and the third goal. I could say the first especially, or I could say the third. The third especially, because it's the last kick of the ball. All he has to do is throw himself and tap it. I don't know what he's doing. It's so uncharacteristic.
It wasn't even coming at him quickly or anything.
No, I know. And there's not even anybody near him. He could just throw himself on top of it. I think, John, what you're alluding to is maybe at the start of the season, I was saying there's times where McGregor looks his age, right? He does. Mm-hmm. There's times where you go, right, he's getting on. He turned 40 yesterday. But I wouldn't say you drop him. You're still McGregor's. He knows what it's all about. It's probably the best game for him going down here tomorrow night.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there during the week, John McLaughlin signed an extension to his deal as well. It's happening.
After McGregor had a howler.
Well, you think, and you go, it'll be, like you say, it would be a massive statement from Van Bronckhorst if McLaughlin was to go on and start tomorrow night.
Well, you've seen Van Bronckhorst's press conference today. He said he's playing and McGregor's his number one. So there's no story. So yeah. The media try to, do you know what I mean? It's... He had a bad game. He had a horrendous couple of errors, and it was shocking. No doubt.
Well,
it
cost his points. Better it happens in that game than happens the morning night.
Aye, exactly.
Yeah. So, all around, very disappointing. After the match, Van Bronckhorst said, we made a good start and got our goal, but we gifted 2 goals and made it really difficult for us. It's always hard to tell why mistakes are made. The reaction we had in the second half was good, creating more chances, we're more dynamic, but in injury time, you cannot give a goal away like this. I have to say, the boy looked impressive for Ross County. Charles Cook looked a really impressive player. I mean, they've been very smart in the transfer window in terms of Ross County. In terms of bringing in people from the Premiership as well.
Is he not like the top or second top scorer in the league this season?
Yeah, he's top at the moment.
Top scorer, isn't he? Aye.
Top at the moment, which is incredible when you look at where Ross County are. But I guess it's moving on to the next one, and we'll get to the next game. But we'll first of all, talk about Celtic at the weekend. Chris, what did you make of the performance? A lot of people saying huffed and puffed, not impressed by the performance. What did you make of it?
We're missing a lot of influential players, and it tells. Do you know what I mean? The one good thing is when it got to half time and nothing each, I was like, I don't see us scoring. But they kept on going and kept on going, and they got their rewards in the end. So that's the main thing. The overall performance wasn't great, and for going for praising Beaton for how well he played against Hearts, I have no idea what he's doing. I think he's got his sale on for red cards every week or something.
What happened? So I've not seen it. What happened?
Right, first of all, right, it should have been a foul on Greg Taylor before it. Right, it's as blatant a foul as you'll see, but the ball breaks loose, and the United striker is on it, and Beaton rugby tackles him. mate, I'm not kidding.
Like Boris Johnson.
No, it was like a UFC takedown from behind. He's like a chop block kind of thing, honestly. And it was every day of the week it was a booking, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to get there if a referee blows for the first foul in the first place. So it wasn't great. But
I mean, so he's out tomorrow night as well now then, isn't he?
He'll be out.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the starting lineup you did put out, Chris. I mean, it's still a fair... Then I guess that shouts out why you've operated in the transfer market the way you have, because it's still a quite a strong lineup. What have you made the boy O'Reilly since he's joined? You obviously had the game against Hearts last week.
He's been brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really good, aye. First game, it last 5 minutes or so, it went down with cramp, and we had used all our subs, I think. We took him off, but... he was struggling really badly, but the game against the United, he was excellent. He really does. He reminds me of Stylian Petrov. Not Stylian Petrov. What'd you call his face?
Joel Edley.
No, Joel Edley. I actually said it to Ryan the other day. It reminds me Stefan Johansson.
Right.
So he does the way, like, he's late arrival into the box and all of that, and he's eye for a forward pass. He really does look like a good player. I know we're only 2 games in, and you know that it could all go to fuck like it has with so many others.
You can only judge on what you've seen so far, mate.
Exactly. He's been really, really good.
It's
so
like Diallo, I guess, for Rangers as well. It's that kind of situation.
Exactly.
You started. It's a fairly strong lineup when you look at the starting lineup, Chris, and I guess that goes to see how you've operated. Because beforehand, maybe 6 months ago, you're going to struggle in a game like that when you're not bringing boys off the bench like Jota and Juranovic and McCarthy coming off the bench. Interesting to see that James Forrest was hooked at half time. A lot of criticism over his performance.
You know my feelings on James Forrest. I've never been a huge fan, but see, if he's come back for his injury, he's offered absolutely nothing in any game that he's played. Honestly, I don't know what the script is. Me, I mean, everything that he does goes nowhere.
Yeah, do you think it's an age thing with James Forrest? I mean, back in the day, is he not
only 30?
I think he's 31 now. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, it seems to be devoid of ideas, devoid of kind of going by players now. Do you think it's a confidence thing?
I think it's either that or it's maybe just the system doesn't suit him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, if the system doesn't suit him, then we need to replace him with a player that the system does suit.
Abada gets the goal, obviously, late on. So you didn't see that coming at all? You thought it was going to be 0-0?
Mate, I thought we could have played until next fucking Saturday or whatever day it was, and we wouldn't have scored. It was, honestly, it was really turgid at times, but there was a lot of positives as well. Like, that's a game that we would have maybe have lost 6 months ago. You know what I mean? But the defence looks particularly solid just now. I mean, I know that's fucking touch wood. Obviously, we've got a big game tomorrow night and that can be proven wrong. But Carter Vickers has been outstanding. He really has.
That's an interesting one because I've seen Jota, and obviously there's been no dealings on Jota or Carter Vickers during that transfer window then. I pose the question to you, Chris. If you could sign one of the two of them, what would my mate said he would sign Carter Vickers ahead of Jota? What do you make of that?
Nah, Jota all day long, mate.
Yeah.
All day long, three times on a Sunday. Honestly, he's outstanding. The boy is outstanding. And I understand the balance that Carter Vickers has brought and the calmness he's brought to the defence. And I know that we've got other players that can play in the position that Jota's playing, but we don't have another Jota.
Right. After the game, Ange Postecoglou said it was a frenetic finish. I'm delighted with the end result. Credit to the players. Again, they found something within them. We weren't at our best, especially in the first half. As long as the game goes, you think you have to find something special. For the last 3.5 months, we've risen to every challenge. That left it to 2 points in the league as it stands. And we'll get to the Old Firm in a minute, tomorrow night's game. But just let's come back to forward again, a couple of 40 hours. Stephen, completely depressed, raging, you know, scathing attacks on his Twitter, on the game on Saturday. And then on Monday, I'm sitting in the studio at Clyde One, and me and George are listening to the 10 o'clock news, and we went, wait, did you just say Aaron Ramsey signing for Rangers? Shut up, what a lot of shite that is. Aaron Ramsey signing for Rangers. The day progresses. We've got Ramon Barwash down at the airport with his mobile...
Looking a bit rough, might I add.
Looking a bit rough with his mobile phone on behalf of STV. There's boys down there waiting at the airport. Is Aaron Ramsey going to appear in Glasgow? Is it none of these... you've heard a story for a taxi driver saying, oh, you'll never guess who I've seen at Hamilton Services, by the way. No, he turns up at Ibrox and completes a loan deal from Juventus to Rangers. Stephen, what have you made of this? It's mental. Mental.
Only Rangers can make you feel like that in 48 hours, man. Saturday at 2 o'clock, I'm sitting depressed. Sunday, I'm depressed. Mondays, I said, I wake up to the group chat going, ping, 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 my mate going, what's his name, Fabrizio Romano, whatever his name is, saying about Ramsey, and you're going, aye, right, nae bother. But then as the day goes on, you're going, no way, this looks like it's going to... Ross Wilson has been... I think I touched on it last week, Rangers Daft John. Ross Wilson had a lot... There was a lot of deadwood left there from Gerrard. Your Barkers, your Bacunas, they're gone. We've replaced them effectively with the boy from Man U, Diallo, and fucking Aaron Ramsey. I mean, we all know Aaron Ramsey. We all like football. We've watched football all the years. The only gripe you can have with him maybe is he's a bit injury prone. But if we get him firing, if we get him fit, wow, what a fucking bit of business that is, man. Because the boy is just a naturally talented football player, man.
See what you were saying there, Stevie, about how Rangers are the only team that can make you feel like that. Celtic somehow managed to do it in reverse. we won the treble. Everybody's like, yeah, it's your beauty. And then the next thing, Celtic are delighted to announce Neil Lennon as the permanent manager of the club. You know what I mean? Wasn't it quite?
No,
but I think Ramsey, as you touched on there, Stevie, if you can keep him fit, he's a world class player.
It's you know, yeah, the big question, obviously, but raised by both sets, or is it, will he be fit and can he maintain that fitness? Because we all see people have come into Scotland, big players with big names have come into this game. You look at Roy Keane for Celtic, Janinho for Celtic, these big names that have come into the Scottish game. And Joey Barton for Rangers, yeah. Big names that have come into the Scottish game and haven't performed to the level. I think it's slightly different with this one. I mean, Aaron Ramsey's 30? Or is he 30?
31.
31, so...
I think he's over the hill. Him and James Forrest are both over the hill.
I've just got a feeling, like McCoist was saying on TalkSport, he compared it to, like, when Gaza signed.
You compare it to that? Do you think that's...
I wouldn't say it's that big. Do you know what it's got a feeling of for me? When we signed Ronald De Boer.
Right, yeah.
It's got that feeling about it, man. It's got that kind of... Gaza was fucking... That was euphoric, fucking absolute icon of world football, Gaza, do you know what I mean? But Aaron Ramsey, for me, there's something about this man. It just feels like this guy's going to be the real deal, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, obviously, Rangers gone... Sorry, mate, on you go.
It's like... you might laugh at me here, but this is like when Gerrard signed. Mm-hmm. Gerrard went to Rangers. This has caught the attention in not just Scottish football.
And it is great for Scottish football as well that we can attract names like that to our game. Do you know what I mean? It's only going to benefit the game up here. But from my own selfish point of view with Rangers, I'm going, the board had to, Ross Wilson had to do something, getting rid of Barker, getting rid of Bacuna, bringing in, like, he's had an absolute blinder, Ross Wilson, and so is the board. And they deserve every bit of praise that comes away. And I just hope the boy Diallo looks right good. The boy we've signed, the cover for Patterson as well. There's a lot of talk about him as well. The Polish
Sikorsky
boy.
Yeah, I mean, that went kind of under the radar because the chat about Aaron Ramsey, the Sikorsky deal went kind of under the radar. But he comes with quite good hopes and quite a big, decent pedigree.
Then Aaron Ramsey, if we get him fit, hopefully he gets in the squad soon. I think tomorrow night's a bit too soon for him.
Yeah,
he said, and Gio said that as well.
Yeah, he said it's too soon for tomorrow night. I mean, it's a shame. You might maybe see him on the bench, maybe making a wee cameo, but I mean, he's not.
I know, you don't know, mate. I know. So I'm hearing Callum McGregor might be making it.
And and Maeda as well.
There was chat about Maeda flying back, wasn't there?
He played for Japan the day, played 20 minutes, and as soon as he left the stadium, he got on a plane.
Have you been on flight radar to check if the flight's from Japan and Glasgow?
I hope it's not that fucking plane that brought Aaron Ramsey in. That seemed to take about fucking 48 hours.
Aaron Ramsey himself says he wants to get back to playing and showing what he can do again after the last couple of years with Juventus. But he thinks, obviously, he's lack of match fitness. He'll need to get up to speed first before making his debut.
By the way, Scottish football's a frenetic game. Do you know what I mean? It's like you were saying there, John, it could turn out that it just doesn't suit the game up here.
I mean,
he's a world class mate. He'll suit the game, man. Don't worry about it.
We all know how Scott it is frenetic, and you know that there's a lot of pace. But yeah, I mean, if anyone, I mean, he is, like Stephen says, he's a world class player. You know, when remembering his pomp at Arsenal.
Sorry, fucking turn that up. He's no Thomas Gravesen.
There's another big name that came and didn't really prove what he could do. Anyway,
he's proving what he can do with other podcasts, but ain't he?
It all started when he came to Celtic. That's when it all started for him. It's when his life took the upturn.
So you got Zdravski and you got Ramsey in. Second bid, John Souter, 400,000, you went back in. We were talking about Rangers staff that there'll be a halfway. Hearts want 500,000. Rangers are offering 300,000. We'll say they'll meet in the middle and hands will be shaking then. But Hearts holding out.
You're not going to bust the bank for it, man. You're not going to go right. Because the guys, plus Balogun's back, Hollander's back training next week. He said it's not an area where we're really short. I think, see if Hollander was out for the rest of the season, bargain wasn't coming back, and you're still going with Bassey. I think we then went, right, what do you want? We'll give you it. But you're not going to be held to ransom for a guy you've got in a pre-contract and you've got an off-free centre horse that are going to cover it anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, right. you said about Brandon Barker getting rid of the deadwood. Brandon Barker let go completely. Yeah, he starts a game last week, which was that just a case of getting on the shot window, or
it's going to be, mate? But that, see that game he started last week against Stirling Albion, that just defined everything that Brandon Barker is. No disrespect to Stirling Albion, if you're playing for Rangers at Ibrox against Stirling Albion and you can't do it, fucking chuck it, mate.
Is he's not got a club yet, as far as I'm aware, has he? But there is big talk about him going back to Hibs.
Hibs, they're talking about aye.
Yeah.
Good luck to the boy. I mean, he still won more titles than Shane Duffy, man. Not me.
Right. Chris, just want to talk about, I mean, Celtic kind of done their business kind of early doors and obviously bringing in Matt O'Reilly last week. What have you made the Celtic's transfer window in January as a whole, bringing in Eddie Gucci, Hatate, Maeda, O'Reilly?
Really, what I've seen of all of them so far, with the exception of Eddie Gucci, I've seen him at the Alley game, but he wasn't a standout or anything like that, but the other ones seem to have kind of adapted well already. See more in Maeda, hopefully, maybe tomorrow and in the upcoming weeks as well. But I think he knows what he was wanting. He knew what he wanted. He made sure he got it in as early as possible to acclimatise him to the style of Scottish football, basically, and the tactics that we would be playing. So, you've just got to trust him, haven't you? You know, I think this is the first time in I can't remember how long where we've not made a signing on deadline day, which kind of takes the fun out of it for you. I can only imagine what the West Ham fans are fucking feeling like. it's no ideal, but the players that he's got seem to fit the positions that he's bought them for, and I'm well impressed with Hatate so far, well impressed, and O'Reilly as well.
So, Toll, do you think this might be James Forrest's last season at Parkhead?
I don't know. I don't know if he's maybe lacking a bit of fitness or whatever. I think he flatters to deceive a lot of the time anyway, but you'll get the people that will say, oh, the numbers. See this? His numbers are amazing. It does my head in, because see when I'm watching football, you know, I watch the full game, I see what somebody does, and he can do nothing for 90, fucking 89 minutes, and then pass a ball in and it's a goal, right? And you need somebody like that in your team, but I don't know. I don't think it'll be his last season. I think he's a well-respected member of the squad, you know what I mean? So having him about's probably better than no having him about, unless he starts not playing and making a bit of noise. And then it's a case of, well, it's time for you to move on.
Aye.
What about young boys moving out, Chris? Obviously, there was a few of those. Montgomery going to Aberdeen, Ewan Henderson, Hibs, William Shaw going to Motherwell, Big Urgehai going to Ostend. Have any of these players got a future at Celtic, or do you think this is them getting punted out on loan and we'll see what happens?
I think William Shaw does.
I'm surprised she's let him go. I think he's a good player, William Shaw.
Aye.
Yeah.
He looks like a player, and we'll get to see more of him, but against the players that he's going to be playing against. But that's the thing, that's what I don't understand with regards to Big Urgaide. They've given him an option to buy West End as well. And you would have thought that they would have fucking learned their lesson with it.
Jack Henry,
exactly. So it's that baffles me, because if he goes there and has a right good season and develops his shell a wee bit more, then he could be a ready-made first-team player when he comes back. So I don't understand the thinking behind that. But Montgomery and who was the other one again?
Henderson.
Henderson's another one I was a wee bit baffled with as well, because I like him. I think he's a good player. Yeah. I really do think he's a good player. I thought he would have had a future at Celtic, but again, it must just be a case of the player not fitting the manager's plans, or maybe, you know, he sees them day in, day out. We don't, you know. So, again, it's just something you've got to trust the management team with.
Yeah, yeah. Right then, let's move on to then what we're here to talk about. Celtic Daft versus Ranger Daft and the Old Firm tomorrow night. Going into the game, form-wise, 5 wins for Celtic in the last 5, 2 draws and 3 wins for Rangers, which leaves the gap at the top of 2 points. Now, I think with these things, have you heard of a SWOT analysis before?
No.
Strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. So I thought we'd do that for each side. And let's start off with the home side, which is Celtic. What are Celtic's strengths going to be tomorrow night, Chris?
If Rangers come out and attack Celtic, then I think Celtic's strength is going to be the counter-attack. We're really fast going forward. And I think that if all the players are on song and Rangers do come out and attack, then you could see Celtic getting some big opportunities.
What about weaknesses?
I would probably say the missing players just now. You know, one of the major weaknesses is going to be the fact that Kyogo's not playing. But we might have Maeda in there, who offers a similar kind of threat, maybe more, a danger wee speed than Kyogo is. But if you've got him, especially if him and Jota are playing, Jota's got a great eye for that forward pass. So the fact that we're missing Kyogo could be a big issue, but hopefully Callum McGregor makes it, because if we don't have the two, then it's going to be a lot harder.
Opportunities. Where can Celtic get at Rangers, do you think?
Do you know what? I've not been watching a lot of Rangers. I've not been watching a lot of Rangers, so I've not got my eye in on them at the moment. I've not seen a single game since Van Bronckhorst took over.
Bro, really? You don't watch the highlights or anything like that, no?
I've seen the highlights, but that doesn't tell the full story.
Not really the same, is it?
It doesn't tell the full story, no. So, you know, but I just hope that they say, like, coaching staff and all of that have been watching them, because I haven't.
You would hope so, because that's their job. You would hope so. What about threats from Rangers then? If you don't see any opportunities, where do you see the main threat from Rangers?
The main threat for Rangers is any time Rangers play against us, the main threat seems to be Kent. So he'll be a huge threat. Morelos isn't there, which is going to be a bonus, like Stephen says. I'm of the opposite opinion. I think if Itten plays, he could unsettle our defence because he's size.
You can tell you've not been watching Rangers, mate.
I'm only going on what I've seen him back in the day with St. Gallen. No. No, but I do think that our defence tends to struggle with bigger, more robust, more physical forwards. So that could be a strength of their ball. But I think Aribo and Kent, I think, will probably be the main threat tomorrow night.
Right, okay. Stephen, let's do SWOT analysis and Rangers. So what are the strengths for Rangers tomorrow night?
Quite similar to what Tol said. Going forward, get a lot of pace, get the young boy, Ahmad, Diallo, whatever you want to call him, get him. We've got Kent, Aribo's back. I think one of the biggest strengths that we've got, I'm hoping, would be we've kind of got the Indian signing of Celtic now, and it's a lot of the same players that have been there. Yeah. Celtic haven't beat us since 2019. Yeah, they're now 2022. Yeah. They're due a win against us, but I'd like to hope a lot of your Aribos, Arfields, even Ryan Jack, if he's in the squad, Kent, Goldson, McGregor, Barisic, Tav, they've all done it time and time again, Celtic. So I'm hoping they go down there and they've just got that belief, and that should be a strength within itself.
Weaknesses?
It's their form now, just their kind of uncertainty for the defence to the middle. There seems to be a bit of a gap there at times. There's not a lot of, I don't know, man, in and out of possession. We're not moving the same way. Like you say, I mean, we're still, Van Bronckhorst still undefeated, but last 5 games, you've dropped 4 points. It's not good enough. So there's a wee bit of uncertainty there. But I'm hoping, even though he's not in the squad tomorrow night, just with that signing of Ramsey and stuff, it gives us a bit of lift.
Yeah. Where do you see the opportunities to get at Celtic?
The same as Tol, I never really watch Celtic games anyway. I'm not your Grado. I don't really watch.
Shite. I don't.
Nicola, do I watch Celtic games? Yeah, fuck. I don't. No time I see it's highlights. I never sit and turn a Celtic game on in my life. Never. not in my life, that's lies, but more times than no, I don't. But I would, where can we get at them? A lot, I mean, a lot of pressure's on them now. They're in front of their own fans. That can have a opposite effect at times, because there's a wee bit of, like the last Old Firm game, there was a bit of expectancy that Celtic were going to have a right go at Rangers and turn the zero, and they didn't. So I'm hoping if a game's still 0-0, or maybe we're 1-0 up, half an hour to go, then get to half time. I don't know.
I think we could. That's a big thing. That's a big weakness for Celtic, the fitness in the second half.
Yeah,
definitely. But like I said,
if we're still in the game at 70 minutes, man, we could. You know what I mean? It could be anybody's. You know what I mean?
And what about the threats from Celtic, Stephen? What are you most fearing?
Jota looks a right good player. Jota, I think he's, I don't know, man. Like, you seem to have kind of steadied the ship at the back a wee bit, though, wouldn't you? So you kind of go up for, there's a wee kind of triangle there. Is it Joe Hart, Starfelt, and Vickers? So I think the main threat, obviously, is Jota in it, and the boy Hatate looks to have hit the ground running, and then if they get the boy Maeda back as well, obviously, I'm glad Kyogo's not playing. But for what I have seen, the day they look very, very quick going forward, so the way we've been playing recently, fuck, man, could have a go at us, man. We could open up with the Red Sea, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you want some fantastic stats that I've dug out?
No.
Here we go. You want to hear my good stats? I've dug these out. Right. Rangers haven't won a league match at Celtic Park as defending champions since October 2010 under Walter Smith, and they've lost all three visits since
That's
then.
That's because this is their first game as defending champions.
Oh, there it is. The bars have started.
It's since 2012. This is their first game at Parkhead as defending champions.
Oh, they haven't.
So it's only really 2 years. Give him a break, for fuck's sake.
My ribs are too sore, man, to argue even.
Since start of last season, Rangers have won 10 of their 12 league matches played on a Wednesday, including two draws in that.
It makes ease up, man.
There
fuck's
you go.
Sake.
So Rangers have got the... But in saying that, Celtic have won each of the last three Old Firm derbies played in midweek, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and most recently 1-0. The last kind of midweek fixture was
Scottish Cup replay.
December 2011.
No, it wasn't the Scottish Cup replay, was it?
It was the one where Joe Ledley.
Because the one Mark Wilson scored was in February
2011.
It's when McCoist and Lennon had their square goal, remember?
Now, their best pals meeting up with each other weekly.
Aye, I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Seven of Rangers' last 10 league goals scored against Celtic have been from set pieces. There you go, one indirect free kick, six corners, including each of the last four scored at Celtic.
And that is an area where we have not been great. See, for set pieces, man, we've not been great for set pieces.
Don't worry, this is when you get back into the fucking swinger.
So, there's some stats for you, boys. Tactics, I'm guessing it's 4-3-3 from each side.
I think, I don't know, I've just got a feeling there's got to be a wee something for Gio tomorrow night.
4-5-1 out of possession then, do you think, Stephen?
Maybe. Going for the weekend there, when he brought on Lundstrom and Jack was on the bench, that surprised me. So that maybe alludes to the fact that maybe Jack isn't fit yet and isn't going to be involved. I was really hoping Jack was going to be involved tomorrow night because... His wee 15-minute cameo against Livingston last week, he looked brilliant. I just want him back in the team, man.
Yeah. Chris, what are you thinking tactically for Celtic?
I don't see it changing much, to be honest with you, John. It's very, very... What would you call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
On a knife edge?
No. That's the Celtic setup. It's very... That's the way it is. And players come in and fit that rather than us changing anything. So it's up to other teams to combat us, I think, which, you know.
So is he not got a plan B, man? Is he like the Aussie Warburton?
That's the one worry I've got about it. It's like, it's kind of Kevin Keegan-esque, you know what I mean? Yous might have scored four, but we've scored eight, one of the ones, do you know what I mean? And we struggle to score when teams don't come out against us sometimes. So, you know, you're right, Stevie. I could maybe see Because a draw suits Rangers a hell of a lot more than it suits Celtic, let's be honest.
Do you think Rangers have got it in them to sit in though, Stevie? Do you think they'll not come out against Celtic? I would suspect they'll come out against them.
I think we'll come out. I mean, we can sit in.
Oh, you, yeah.
I can see maybe Gio trying that though, because the part since
yeah, Brian,
Gio's,
Jack maybe back and maybe the person.
We've gave teams too much of the ball all the time. The past few weeks, we just gave teams the ball and we let them come at us and we did try and sit in, but we can't do it because teams score against us. And that was what we didn't do last season. Teams didn't score against us last season. Yeah. But I think it could be quite an entertaining game.
I think it will.
Do you know when you were talking there, I was thinking this could be a fucking an absolute barrel load at both ends.
Aye.
You know what I mean? It's like you shite yourself, don't you? I'm shiting myself.
You're both shiting yourself. Aye. Right, let's go for your starting 11 then, Chris. Well, who are you having?
Nakamura.
Scott Sinclair.
God rest him.
God rest him, he's on dates.
You know what I mean? God love him. I was going to say God love him, right? Joe Hart. Right back, Juranovic. Centre halves, Carter Vickers and Starfelt. Left back's got to be Taylor, hasn't it?
There's no real option at left back.
Well,
is
the only other option that we've got is play Ralston at right back and play Juranovic at left back.
They did that during the season, didn't they? When Ralston was in form, they kept Ralston on the right and put Juranovic. Do you think he would do that again? But Juranovic seems to be. I mean, a lot of people are saying he's a six or a seven every week. Really, just consistent.
He is, but Greg Taylor is a weak link in this team.
Something that Rangers can, there you go, put that down as a weakness for Celtic, Stephen. So something that Rangers can get at, there you go.
Well, that's the thing, right? So if I would have my way, it would be Ralston at right back, Juranovic at left back.
But you don't think that.
Midfield, I think you've got to have O'Reilly in for what he's shown so far.
Yeah.
And I would have Hatate and McGregor in there. If it's possible.
There is talk of him playing with a mask, isn't there? Because it was a facial
Batman,
injury.
Batman, fucking Batman, mate. That's the game. So if he's fit, I would have him. And then up top, I would go, if he's available, Maeda through the middle with Jota on the right and Abad on the left. On the left, Abad on the right.
Jackie Marcus, just touching on him, three goals in the last four. Didn't have a great game against Dundee United. Did he not get a shout out in front of Maeda?
Do you know, no, purely because I think Maeda offers more of a threat going forward. If the game comes to a point where we're needing to hold it up and stuff like that, then you might see Jackie Marcus make an entrance. But he's the sort of strike. Do you know who he reminds me, with the exception he was nowhere near as fast, he reminds me of Kenny Miller and the fact that see if you give him any sort of time to think about it, he makes a fucking arse of it.
Who, right. Maeda or Jackie Marcus?
No, Jackie Marcus.
Right.
See if you fire a ball at him at 60 mile an hour, he'll first time it into the top corner and he'll bother. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, I would rather see Maeda up front, but, you know, there could come a point in the game where we need to go with the two of them up front or maybe switch it about, but that would be my 11, definitely.
Stephen, let's go to the Rangers 11. Who are you going with?
McGregor, Tav, Goldson.
Yeah.
I'd maybe like to see Balogun coming in.
Really? Is this after Bassey's queen swiping at the ball at the weekend?
Bassey's always a stopgap. He's a left back. He's been a stopgap. He's performed admirably, but now it's starting to come to the point where you can see he's a left back and not a centre off. And although Balogun has been out for quite a while, so whether he's fit or not, I'd like to see Balogun in there, but it might be Bassey. Yeah. Barisic left back.
Yeah. This is the quick midfield,
Kamara, Arfield, Aribo.
That's
in the
it.
Middle.
So starting with the three that you started. I'm guessing that's dependent on.
I would love Jack being back. I would love Jack to be back, but
if he's not getting game, do you think maybe he didn't get game time at County because Van Bronckhorst is going to bring him in this game?
Maybe. I would love to see Ryan Jack playing tomorrow night. I really would.
Would you take out? Would you take out Arfield or Kamara?
Up, man, after Kamara's 5-yard sloppiness the other day, man, for leading to the corner, maybe can you leave Kamara out? But I don't know, man. Maybe because I like the dig that Arfield gives you in these games as well. Arfield always seems to have the know-how against Celtic as well.
Joan beyond the strikers as well.
And then the three up top will be Diallo on one wing, Kent on the other, and Kemar Roof through the middle. With Sakara making a appearance at some point, because he's fucking rapid as well, and he's got that unpredictability about him. So the only two questions I'd probably have is maybe bargaining for Bassey, but maybe Bassey will start, or maybe Jack somehow being in the middle of the park. But I don't know who you take out there. It's a tough call.
Yeah, yeah. Score, boys. What's the score going to be?
4-0.
4-0 Celtic.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Rangers.
2-1 Rangers. I'll take the draw then. I think it'll be. I'll get my arse on that bench and
I was going to go to draw, but I couldn't like. I had to give my foot. I couldn't let Smugger sit there say 4-0. Like,
you'd quite happily take a draw if I gave it to you right now, Steve. Would you?
Aye.
Chris, would you take a draw?
No. It won't be 4-0. Obviously, but I think Celtic will win. I've just got a feeling about this one. I think they're going to win.
I think it's going to be I'm really hoping, because I think both teams are playing some great football. Rangers not so much at the weekend there, but they came back into it.
We played great football, like I said, for 2-1 to 3-2. We played fucking County couldn't get a touch. We played some brilliant stuff, and then we just went back into ourselves. But hopefully that should be put up the arse we needed, and we can go and get the 3 points tomorrow. Like I say, a lot of that team's got the know-how to do it, man, against Celtic.
Any final thoughts, boys?
Final thoughts? No, I just hope everybody gets to the match and gets home safely.
That sounds like a threat, Stephen.
That's my thoughts. I hope it's I hope football's the winner and everybody just watch their stairs.
Watch the stairs. I mean, a big thing about this, I hate to see it, as the neutral supporter here, no Rangers supporters in there. I mean, the clubs need to get this sorted out. It just ruins the spectacle. You want to hear that atmosphere, you know? And it won't obviously be an atmosphere, but you want to hear that back and forth. You want to hear the roar when one of the teams.
You want to hear that sectarianism.
I'm not getting into this, John.
No, but I mean, you do want to see it. I mean, you both got to admit you want to see that. You know,
100%, mate, 100%. I think it's the worst thing that's happened in Scottish football. And
you do want them back, but I will also go on record as saying the game at Ibrox 7 Hallander scored is one of the best atmospheres I've ever heard in my life.
I will also go on record as saying I'm glad that there's no Rangers fans there, because I'm in the Rangers end.
Because you get a ticket,
yeah. I'm in the Rangers end, mate. I'll need to stop myself from getting a wee call you when I need you.
Well, guys, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, when we reunite football after this Friday.
See, this is the really fucking annoying thing if we get beat tomorrow, man. I've not got long to wait before I need to see Toll's fucking Chevy Chase, man.
Listen,
this football daft's getting recorded on Friday, innit?
Stephen,
Thursday.
Stephen, yes. have you heard from me since you dropped points at Ross County?
No.
You've heard from me, but have you heard anything about the football for me?
No, I haven't, Christopher, no.
Right, okay.
You're very quiet on Saturday, Christopher. I didn't notice
Because
he knows
I knew it was coming next. Because I knew it was coming next, that's why. Got to keep your powder dry, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, you'll hear all about the Old Firm game. We'll be joined, but Grado's not on this week because he's filming two doors down at the moment.
So it's just this, basically.
Do you know what we should do? We should go to the set and record. Just turn up.
Record for there. Well, we could record to my dressing room. It's literally two doors down from where they film, so we could film there, record the podcast there, then walk down.
Yeah, but we can make it.
Do you know what, boys? It's never going to happen.
No, I know.
Listen, mate, I fucking love two doors down. I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Well, there we go. Listen, thank you very much for listening to Celtic Daft versus Rangers Daft. Appreciate you continuing to listen to Football Daft. Please rate, review, subscribe, whatever you get your podcast. Like I say, three of us will be back on the main show this Friday. Friday. Get voting on your swanky moment of the week. That's up on our Twitter at Football Daft Pod right now. Best of luck, boys, for tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to the game.
Thank you.
I'm not shite at what you two. I'm going to sit back with a beer and watch it as a neutral quite comfortably.
Well, I hope you both enjoy yourself, and can I just say, no more arigato for listening.
Now, I usually get... I'll come to you, each. We'll go to the home side first with, you know, Chris, sign off with...
Just a domo arigato for listening.
Sign off for that. And, Chris, Stephen, you go.
The other people.
There we go. Celtic versus Rangers. Thank you very much. Audio Frontier.